Please do open your Bibles to the New Testament, to Galatians chapter 2. And if you'd like to follow in any of the church Bibles under the seats in front of you, you'll find that on page 1168. Galatians chapter 2, page 1168. And Becky Cartwright is going to read that for us, and then Nathan will come and preach.
Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation, and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified in faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing."
Well, it's good to gather together as FIC churches this evening. We have our differences, but we are united, aren't we, in the great things of the gospel, in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our foundations and our goals are the same. A foundation that we have in the scriptures and how we want to live our lives based on God's precious word. And the goal that we have to bring glory to God. We don't want to be living for ourselves, but for his honour and his pleasure. The question I want to think about this evening is how we bring glory to God. And of course, there's many ways in which we can answer that question. But I want us to be thinking... the theme that I've put down is that we're to celebrate Christ. It is through the celebration of Christ, through the rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the essential way whereby we can bring glory to God. We will never honour God unless we honour his Son. The celebration of Christ is essential to glorifying God. The Apostle Paul knew this, and the Apostle Paul lived this. In Philippians 1:21, he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." His whole life was for Christ, and death was simply to be with Christ, which was gain. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He's saying, I'm totally devoted to living the way Jesus lived. And that's not just for me as an apostle, it's for everyone. He says, follow my example. In Romans 13 and verse 14, he says this, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Well, don't think about your own desires. Think about Christ, how Christ would behave, how Christ would think. Think about the attitudes of Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 14 and verse 8, he summarizes the Christian life in this way. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Or again, writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, he summarizes his message. For I have resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Just a few verses earlier, he writes, Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Do you boast in the Lord? Do you live for Christ? Do you count Christ your wisdom? Because in Christ is redemption and God's salvation. Writing to the Romans, the apostle says in chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's salvation, his eternal life, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. To rejoice in salvation is to rejoice in Jesus Christ. If we are to bring glory to God, we are to rejoice in the Lord Jesus. We are always to be fully resolved in our lives to honor Christ, to live for Christ, to love Christ, to trust Christ. We need always to be aware of the danger of our love for the Lord Jesus growing cool. That we might even be disgruntled by the least inconvenience in serving the Lord. Well, today, I could have taken any of those verses really, couldn't I? But today, we're going to look at a really wonderful verse, and it's in Galatians 2 and verse 20. It is a justly famous verse, and perhaps it's a verse you have memorized. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is a really personal verse. The apostle speaks about himself a lot. There's an I, me, and then an I, me, me, as we go through the verse. I just read it with emphasis. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this verse is about the apostle. It is about the I and the me. And as we look at the apostle, we see, hopefully, ourselves as believers as well. But it's not just about the apostle. It's about someone else, isn't it? It's also about Jesus. It's a relational verse, and so if we go through the verse again, we see Christ is mentioned twice. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And then he speaks of Christ as the Son of God. He says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And he refers to the Son of God twice then as the one who loved me and who gave himself for me. Five references to Christ in the one verse. This verse is about Paul, and this verse is about Jesus, and it's about the relationship between Paul and Jesus. The Apostle Paul is expressing what it means to be a Christian. He is showing us that as Christians, we must be those who celebrate Christ. There are clearly, and the NIV helpfully divides the verse into two sentences, and there are two halves to the sentence, and we're going to entitle the first half, Life in Christ, and the second half, Life for Christ. The second sentence in the verse begins with now, the life I now live in the body. He's speaking about a process. First, there is life in Christ, And then he's saying, but now, having got that life in Christ, now I live for Christ. First, we must find our life in Christ. And then second, we must live our lives for Christ. The order is important. We can't live for Christ until we have first found our life in Christ. But the continuity is also important, because having found our life in Christ, we must then go on to live for Christ. We can't move on from Christ. To mature is to mature in Christ. It's a deepening relationship towards the Lord Jesus. So let's look at the two halves. And so we say the first point I'm making is that life is in Christ. And there are three phrases here. Let me just outline them again. There in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Now, Paul is describing conversion. He is describing conversion as a death resurrection experience, a crucifixion and a resurrection. Yes, Paul is still alive, but he's saying, I've died, I've been crucified with him, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who's living in me. Just pause for a moment and think about why he's using this terminology of being crucified with Christ. The death of Jesus is not just a Christian idea, it's an event, a historical event, isn't it? A man, Jesus Christ, was taken and nailed to a cross. As those nails went through his hands and feet, his blood was shed. The cross was hoisted up into the socket, and Jesus hung there in agony and died. And as Christians, we believe that that death, that physical pain that Jesus was going through, is representative and points us to a great spiritual anguish which Jesus was enduring on the cross, that he was bearing our sin and that he was bearing the judgment that our sin deserves. He took our sin, he suffered our judgment. And what Paul is saying is that as he in his mind's eye sees Jesus there dying on the cross for him, his faith is going out to Jesus and he is being united to the Lord Jesus. There is a bond created, a faith bond created between him and the Lord Jesus. And so he's saying, I was crucified with Christ. Christ's death was for me. It was my death. It was for me. So Christ was suffering the wages for our sin so that we don't have to pay that bill. He was suffering the punishment for our sin, that we might not be punished. He was earning our forgiveness, that we might receive forgiveness from him. And so we do not need to earn God's favour. We do not need to pay our way to heaven. We do not need to merit salvation. Christ has earned it. Christ has paid for it. Christ has merited our salvation. A Christian, then, is someone who recognises that they cannot by themselves merit their way to God. They cannot get right with God on their own. They can only relate to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ, creating a union with Christ so that we can say, I have been crucified with Christ. God counts the death of the Lord Jesus as our death. The death for our sin, so that then we are accepted, forgiven, justified. If we look a little bit earlier in the chapter 2 and verse 16, the apostle puts it like this. He says, we know that a person is not justified, he's not made right with God by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. A Christian then is someone who's got peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. They're accepted by God through faith in Jesus Christ. The emphasis is Paul saying here is that I've been crucified. Not just I've been crucified, but I've been crucified with Christ. The death of Christ, that bond that he has with Christ, God is counting as his death. And I want to suggest that this emphasis of being crucified with Christ has two implications or results. First, it means that we have no longer any obligations. And second, that we have no independence. No obligations and no independence. What do I mean by no obligations? We are no longer required to earn our own acceptance before God. We're not required to, by our own obedience, gain God's approval, to merit God's love, to pay off our own sin, somehow to pay off the wrong things we've done by doing good things. We have no obligation. We have no such obligations because Christ was crucified for us, and we have been crucified with him. We're not then required to or under the law for perfect obedience. In fact, as Christians, we realize it is impossible to please God. Through our own efforts, we cannot do that. That's why we've turned to Christ as our Savior. And so we have been united with Christ. But perhaps, and certainly Paul dealt with people who thought, well, if we're fully accepted simply by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, why then carry on doing good works? And in one way, it's good to ask that question because it shows that you've got a heart that wants to please God. And you're not wanting to carelessly carry on in sin. Why then is it that if we have no obligations, we don't continue to live in sin? Well, the Apostle Paul says this, doesn't he? He says, I've been crucified with Christ. And then he says, I no longer live. Our death with Christ means we've no longer got obligations because the death of Christ has provided all that we need. But in dying, we lose our independence because I no longer live. Because we have died, we are no longer free to live as we might just want to live. We have a union with Christ. It is a legal union, a justification, a recognition under the law that we're accepted. We have no more obligations, but through the spiritual union, we have died ourselves so that we do have an inner desire to live for Christ. We have lost our independent living. It's no longer that we live for ourselves. We have no independence because our old self has died. I no longer live. And in fact, we've had a resurrection, which the Apostle Paul says is Christ living in me. His old way is so completely finished with, his independent way, his I'll do it my own way, I don't need God telling me what to do, has so died that it's nearly, he says, it's not me anymore, it's Christ living in me. Beforehand, before we are Christians, I is on the throne. But coming to Christ, being crucified with him that we might be justified, we are also dead to self. And so we have no independent existence from Christ. He lives in me. He rules me through his word and by his spirit. Conversion then, we can put it these two ways, if you like. When we're converted, we are put on the cross with Christ. And at the same time, Christ is put within us, within our heart. We are crucified with him, and we no longer live. He, Christ, lives in us. We are put to him, and he comes to us. Salvation is union with Christ. Salvation is justification through the cross, no legal obligations before God, and yet is also, through our death with Christ, means that we are no longer independent from Christ. And so by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, we live for him. Because we're justified, we no longer trust in our own righteousness. Because we have this new power within us, the power of Christ, we desire to live for God. So, life in Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I wonder if that is true of you this evening. And you say, I've been crucified with Christ. Can you say, I no longer live? Can you say, Christ lives in me? When we put our faith in Christ, we're renouncing faith in ourself. We're renouncing faith in our own goodness. We're putting our total trust in Jesus, and we're being united to Jesus. In his death, we have forgiveness, and through his resurrection, he lives in us. That is life in Christ. Well, the second thing that I want to say this evening is that having found life in Christ, we then are to live for Christ. The verse really does have a lot to say about life and living. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. A lot of mentioning there about life and living. And it's a process, isn't it? I don't live. Christ lives in me. Therefore, I live for him. You might think, well, how, if he doesn't live, how can he be living for Christ? What he's saying, I think, is that the power of Christ is a dominating power within him. So in one sense, he's not living. But of course he is, but by the power of Christ. Before he was a Christian, the old him was dominating. But now he's been converted, now he's gone through the death and resurrection, he is, as it were, such a new person that he can, in one sense, say, I don't exist. But in another, he says, it is a Christ living in me. Through Christ he lives. Now, before he goes on to say how he lives for Christ, he says he's going to live by faith in the Son of God, but he lives this life in the body. In the body. Why does he add that? Why doesn't he just go on to say, I'm living for Christ? Why does he say he's living in the body? I think because he's been emphasizing his the massive change that's happened at conversion, that he is a new person. He doesn't want people to think, but that's, I've got no battles anymore. I'm still in the body. There is still, he's not got his resurrection body yet. The word there, translated body, is actually the word flesh. He's in his fallen body. He's still not all that he is meant to be. Yes, conversion has changed him. Christ is in him, but he's still got his fallenness with him. We must not underestimate the change of conversion, but we can't also overestimate the change. Christ is in us, but we are still in the body. Both are true. So then, how do we live for Christ? And I think I want to just look at that word, faith in the Son of God. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God. And I want us to see in that word, faith in the Son of God, two aspects of faith. Dependence and devotion. Dependence and devotion. He is dependent on the Son of God. He is resting on the Son of God. He has entrusted himself to the Son of God. He is constantly living with a sense, it's not by what I do, it's by what Christ has done. He's always resting in, and doesn't say Christ, does he? He says the Son of God. And I think there, the term Son of God has its full weight, its full divine weight. He is resting in God's Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. Both those senses are past, aren't they? He loved me. Of course, Jesus loves us, but he's not saying that. He's saying he loved me. Jesus gives himself to us all the time, but he's not saying that. He's saying he gave himself for me. What Paul is speaking about is the death of Christ. He's speaking about Jesus coming and accomplishing redemption. That's the act of love. That's the giving that he's referring to. And he says that his faith is constantly towards the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christian life then is a life of living by faith. Constantly we are tempted to turn our faith away from Christ and trust what we're doing, especially if you're serving the Lord hard, you're doing many things for his kingdom. It's easy for us to become self-righteous and to depend on what we are doing, to be proud of our own commitment and service and labor. We need constantly to remember that having found life in Christ, We must live for Christ by faith in Christ, by faith in the Son of God. We must be dependent on him always as our Saviour. We can't move away from that. We rest in him for forgiveness and acceptance with God. So, faith is dependent, and then faith is devoted. When he says that he lives by faith in the Son of God, I think also there, included in that term, faith, is not only a dependence on the Son of God, but a devotion to the Son of God. He thinks about Jesus in his greatness. He's the Son of God. He thinks about Jesus in his love and his sacrifice for him. He gave himself for him. And so I think the response is of devotion. Now, that is, as we're focusing ourselves, our thoughts on Jesus' love for us, his giving himself for us, we respond by wanting that same devotion towards him that he has shown to us, to love him, to admire him, to serve him. As he has loved, we want to love. As he gave himself for our salvation, we want to serve him to save the lost. Well, let's come to a conclusion then. Looked at this wonderful verse. It is a great verse, Galatians 2, verse 20. It speaks about two people. It speaks about the Apostle Paul, and it speaks about Jesus Christ. And it speaks about the relationship that Paul has with Jesus Christ. And it reminds us how we need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Firstly, it reminds us that we must find our life in Christ. We must say, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And then we're reminded that we must live for Christ. We must live by faith in the Son of God. And I understand that to mean that we must be dependent upon him and be devoted to him. So what are we to take away? Our aim as Christians, isn't it, is to bring glory to God. And we glorify God by celebrating Christ. Celebrating Christ is living our life as finding our life in Christ and then living for Christ. We remember who we are. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. That's my identity. And then we think, how am I living? Am I living by faith in the Son of God? Am I depending upon him? Am I devoted to him? Well, may the Lord bless his word to us. I think we're going to sing together.